Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. I am extending the Your Team Every Day again this week to not to a really a full podcast, but to a short little recap podcast solo of what happened in tonight's Warriors-Lakers game. The Warriors went down to LA the day after the big game against Oklahoma City and got absolutely blown out. And when a team gets blown out by an inferior opponent, and I'm giving full credit to the Lakers, they played hard, and that's going to be a big part of this story. And they, you know, they hit a fair amount of the shots that were available to them, so they deserve full credit for that. But there are a lot of different failings. You know, that's generally when the wheels fall off like they did tonight, you're not looking at one thing and pointing to a single cause. You're looking at a lot of different things and saying these all contributed. For the angle I'm using for the Athletic piece is the idea of contributory negligence. So it's like, you know, a bunch of different people did a bunch of different things wrong, and that's what led to the result. And so a lot of people justifiably will focus on the shooting, and it is undeniably true that the Warriors missed a lot of shots that they should make. And if they hit a lot of those or hit a fair portion of those early and throughout, the game is more competitive and there's a very good chance that they win. So that's there. There isn't really much to say about that. They generated a fair amount of quality looks. They didn't go in. It happens. You know, that if it was just that, first of all, if it was just that, they probably still would have won because of the other factors. But, you know, there isn't really much to say. That's something, you know, even with the Phoenix game, and then it corrected itself to a degree with the big wins in Portland and then against the Thunder. But then, you know, that'll rear its head from time to time. There is nothing you can do about that. As much as people want to say, oh, a jump shooting team and things like that, teams miss a lot at the rim too. So teams have bad nights. It happens. But there were other factors in this game that were far more significant to my eyes than that. And it really comes down to a fundamental idea of what defense is supposed to be. And so in defense, you're going to do a lot of different things at the same time, but the fundamental goal of a big part of it is to prevent a person from getting to a spot. A lot of times that's the player with the ball. You don't want them to get to the rim. You don't want them to get to maybe to the three-point line to be wide open. A lot of different aspects with that same goal. And it doesn't have to just be the guy with the ball. It can be your cover running to the rim. It can be, you know, a back cut. It can be anything like that. And the Warriors throughout Friday's game did an absolutely terrible job of denying the Lakers the position that they wanted. And that was true of pick and roll ball handlers. That was true of cutters. And in the most egregious way that it was actually happening was on the offensive glass. And so the Lakers did an amazing job of just pressuring. Julius Randle did a great job of, when he didn't have the ball, just kind of in various situations, he would just kind of push towards the basket. And it's not very common for Draymond Green to be a primary offender of this, but he absolutely was today, where he just sometimes, Julius Randle just outworked him and got better position, picked up an offensive rebound, and then either got a bucket, got a foul, passed it out, various things like that. Randle had 6 offensive rebounds in this game. A fair amount of those were with Green on him. And the Lakers do have athleticism. They do have a fair amount of size, but it's not like they dwarf the Warriors. And we're just coming off a game when the Warriors basically held the Oklahoma City Thunder off the offensive glass. And in various recent years, they've been towards the top of the league. I mean, Adams and Kanter are superior to the guys the Lakers bring forward, even though the Lakers guys played better tonight. And so the Lakers actually grabbed 34% of the available offensive rebounds, which is a ludicrously high amount and is a testament to both their effort and the Warriors' just lack of ability and desire to keep them off the glass tonight. And you can't give a team that many extra opportunities. I mean, you could look at this a lot of different ways, but the Lakers attempted 9 more shots than the Warriors. They also attempted 1 more free throw, and that all kind of runs together, because when you get those extra bites at the apple, you can make up for some other things. If the Warriors had had 10 more shots than the Lakers, they probably win this game, even though all the other struggles. If you switch that from a nine shot deficit to a nine shot advantage, then even if you shoot, 20% from three, you undershoot the other team in terms of percentages, which the Warriors barely did tonight, you can still do it. But when you combine that and cold shooting, it becomes a major problem. And the idea of not preventing a guy from getting to a spot is also a huge part in what was, I think, probably the most jarring stat of the night, which is that the Lakers shot 25 of 29 from the rim. And that is an important fraction because both the numerator and the denominator are really significant. So 29 shots at the rim in a regulation game is a lot. That is a lot of attempts at the rim. It is a high proportion of their shot attempts. And it's hard for a team to win there because that is the best place to shoot on the floor. As great as the Warriors are from three, when you have the ball at the rim, the expected value is higher. And so they were conceding those shots, and unsurprisingly, they were going in. I mean, that's why the denominator, the bottom part of it, is more important, but they actually did make the shots. And they also got to the free throw line. They were 19 of 21 from the line, which is great. But most of their free throws were not attributable to those offensive rebounds, to driving the lane, to things like that, because they got fouled, I believe it was three times on three-point shots. And then there were, I think, at least one more by Lou Williams that was on a pretty deep two. And those are a big problem as well, because, you're just basically giving away shots. And it's a part of my analysis on The Athletic for this. But the one that really stuck with me was when Stephen Curry fouled Nick Young. It was his third foul, so he missed the last couple minutes of the second quarter. And I don't want to call it a fake hustle play because it wasn't. The intention was to affect the shot. However, he got out there too late and he couldn't affect the shot, but he still went through the idea of contesting it. And when you're doing that starting from a bad position, you often have to take a shortcut. And in that case, the shortcut was basically going right by Nick Young as opposed to kind of like going at an angle or something like that. And when you run at somebody, it's easier for the ref to make the call, whether it be an actual foul or whether it be exaggerated contact. It's just one of those things where you're putting them in the situation. And if you're trying to affect the shot, that's fine. That is a risk calculus that you have to make. But if you have no chance of affecting the shot anyway, if the ball's basically already gone, then you don't take that risk. You duck out of the way, you do something else, and you just kind of live with the idea that you didn't get out there the way you wanted to. And so what ended up happening on that play was the Warriors got the worst of both worlds. They didn't contest the shot. It ended up not going in, but because Curry made the situation more palatable for the referee to call it, I haven't seen definitive proof. I didn't watch a ton of replays on it about whether it was a mistake or a correct call. But in some ways, when you're putting the ref in that sort of a situation, you're just making the problem worse. And so Nick Young got three free throws out of it. He made all three. Those were actually the only three free throws he attempted on the night, which is actually something amazing about this. The Lakers out attempted and out made the Warriors from the free throw line. But outside of that Nick Young foul, their starters only shot four free throws. D'Angelo Russell made all four. And the only one of their quote unquote big guys who even attempted a free throw was Brandon Ingram, who's, a very skinny forward. And he got to the line a bunch. He did a really nice job of fighting for a lot of different things. And he's done a good job this year with the ball in his hands, which is exciting for those of us who like watching young guys in the league, that he's so young. He's one of the youngest players in the league, but has really shown an assertiveness, which is certainly a good thing when you're looking at a young guy. The Warriors had that with Steph and various other young guys over the last couple of years. So Lakers fans should certainly be encouraged and enthused by that. So you have all of these kind of contributing factors, and also just kind of lax play. They also, I mentioned this in passing, but it's important enough to fixate on a little bit. The turnover margin in this game was also huge. So even though the Warriors forced more live ball turnovers, they forced 13 live ball turnovers, which is great. Live ball turnovers are better than dead ball ones because you get the ball and it's not a stoppage of play, so the defense can't get set. The Lakers not only forced more turnovers, if you want to call it that, so a lot of them were unforced errors, as I've termed it before. Even with the difference in live dead ball all turnovers because they're 13-9 in terms of steals. The Lakers scored 22 points off the Warriors turnovers, and the Warriors scored 11, and it was a 20-16 margin. So in terms of actual turnovers, so you have all of these factors that are running together that all lead to the loss. And it also is one of those games where, you know, Durant had a pretty solid performance, but I would say if you're counting offense and defense, he was the only starter that I would say had a good game. Looney looked solid. This was one of the better games that he's had as a pro. And the test for basically any of these big men relative to each other, and you're not really ever going to be making a fair comparison because they're playing at different times of the game against different opponents, typically with different teammates as well. But what you're really looking at is a basic question. Does the team look better when they are on the floor? And in this game with Kevon Looney, some of that was because they looked bad with almost everyone on the floor, but they looked better when he was out there. And there were some minutes where he was at the four, some minutes where he was at the five, but that is a statement that means he should probably play more. And he did get significantly more minutes than David West. I believe he even had more minutes than West in the first three quarters, even though this whole game was the competitive portion. I do like looking at that just in terms of sub rotations, because it gives you an idea of how Kerr is approaching the team and approaching the situation. So the other guy who did well tonight was Sean Livingston. It's not only just the box score stats. You know, he went 5 for 5 from the field. He also had 3 assists, but he looked more active. And he was, you know, when he had the ball in his hands, he was either looking to create for himself or others. And he's going to need to do that. I had somebody ask me today on Twitter about, you know, kind of the idea of like, why is Sean Livingston on this team? And the core answer is because Stephen Curry might get hurt, because in that case, you need him instantly. He's your, you know, your starter, whatever you need like that. But the second part is because they will figure out better ways to use him. You know, they have kind of marginalized Livingston to a point in those Durant minutes. I think they're going to need to use him a little bit more with Curry just to give them some balance, especially if they're going to use Clay at moments in the Durant stagger. So Livingston, to a point, if Ian Clark is going to be disappointing, and if McCaw, you know, we'll have to see with him, he's so young. Livingston is different than those guys, but can certainly provide something. Curry can play off ball. You can do a lot of different things there. And I think that it would be a good use of Livingston to give him some minutes there. Depending on how they use Draymond, that can exacerbate some of the problems, but they can make that work. And that's something to do. But there are a lot of different things. And I think that in some ways it is a kind of a good thing for the team in the broad scope to have a game like this where it wasn't ambiguous about, oh, you know, they got outplayed or anything like that. Like the Spurs game felt to a point like an anomaly. They just ran into a buzzsaw at the wrong time. They definitely contributed to that. The Spurs outplayed them, but it could be written off in that sense. It was a weird game. It was the opener, everything like that. The Warriors played kind of a poor game on ring night the year before against the Pelicans, but they ended up winning that game because the Pelicans are the Pelicans, and who they blew a game tonight for anybody who watched that. It was actually during part of the Warriors game. Anyway, this cannot be construed as anything other than a failure. And, you know, it was bad games happen. It's an 82-game season. The season's too long. They were on the tail end of a back-to-back. There are a lot of mitigating factors. I am not discounting those at all. But if you clean up one or two of their huge problem areas in this game, they have a very good chance of winning and maybe winning outright, because the Lakers played fine. They did well. But especially early on, a lot of the mistakes the Warriors had were of their own making. It wasn't like the Lakers were pressuring and they made a turnover. It was more just they tried to make it too fancy. They misread the play, all that sort of thing, and then missed a lot of wide open shots, which is not really a surprise. And that's something, if you watched the game, you saw it very clearly. A lot of Klay Thompson's misses in particular, great generation of the look, sometimes they don't go in. It's just the way basketball is. So that really does sum it up. You know, not every game is going to be great. Every teams always have struggle games, and the tail end of a back-to-back, in some ways, in this case, even more with a home road, because it was such a big home win, teams are going to make those losses. It is going to be disappointing, and that's why it's so hard to win 73 games, any of that kind of crazy stuff, is because you can't have those kind of letdowns as much. And, you know, the Warriors' run at the beginning of last season probably takes on another level of resonance now, because it's a reminder of how hard it is to dominate in that way. And there is nothing that I'm seeing from them so far, if we look at the first six games in their totality, that makes me think that the Warriors are anything less than I expected at the beginning of the year. But they do need to clean this up, because when you get into a playoff series, even if you're the favorite, if you functionally give a team a game, because if they play this badly against basically any playoff team, they're going to lose. Is that if you give a team a game like this, it really ratchets up the degree of difficulty, because at that point, let's say the Warriors have home court in that series, you lose home court, but also just because, you know, these are NBA teams, and when you give them that, they get confidence and everything like that. So this can be an object lesson in how not to play in a bunch of different ways, but I would say especially effort and execution defensively, because the offense, those kind of things happen. But defensively, they let the Lakers, who have at moments struggled to get their shots, at other moments they've looked better, they let them get where they wanted to, both on first shots and second shots. And you really, really can't survive both of those. You know, sometimes a team can handle it if they, like, let's say, grab every defensive rebound. So even if they get up good first shots, you can prevent the seconds. Or you can do the reverse, where, you know, you have a pretty good first shot defense and then they get a fair amount of offensive rebounds. That's actually something the Warriors have done a fair amount over the years. Durant talked about that after, I can't remember which game it was, but he talked about that. Might have been the Spurs game. And, you know, so those two things can happen. But when you fail at both at the same time, the other team's going to win. So that is really the game in a nutshell. And there was a play, I mentioned this as being game in the nutshell. It was, I think it was the end of the second quarter, where Julius Randle set a two-man with D'Angelo Russell. And Draymond did a solid enough job kind of trying to stop the action. But then once Randle's job was done, he didn't sprint by. It wasn't anything like that. He didn't bull him. Randle just beat Green to the spot, and then he got there, and then Draymond just kind of tried to push him away. Wasn't able to do that. And once you've given up that position, I mean, the guy's already basically won the battle. So that doesn't mean you don't try anymore or anything like that, but that's something that doesn't happen to Green very much. You appreciate it to a point when it happens, because it is so rare, but that is the kind of thing that can lead to a team losing to an inferior opponent, albeit with mitigating factors. So that really is more than enough on this game. I will be back on Sunday night, Monday morning, depending on when you listen to the podcast. Despite there not being another game, just kind of want to do that. It might end up being a little bit on the shorter side, especially considering I put this out there. Also, if you want to listen to it, this was a really fun week of Locked On Warriors. Did a podcast on kind of fandom with Ian Carmel, talked about the Suns game with Andy Liu, talked about the Thunder with Fred Katz, and then last night's game with Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post. So a lot of good stuff. If you're listening to this on the weekend, you should definitely check that out as well. Thank you so much for listening. You can send feedback to Danny LaRue, DannyLeroux on Twitter, DannyLaRueMBA@gmail.com. And I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun to do this so far. I'm going to keep doing it. So thank you so much. Take care and make it a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.